Cape Talk.
Cape Talk.
Call us on 021 446 0567.
Sunday morning on Cape Talk 567, and you can find us on DSTV 885, and you can also send us a WhatsApp message to 072-567-1567. And we feature a lot of food and food things on the show, and we had a chat about salt, we had a chat about sugar and artificial sweetness in your cool drinks and stuff like that. But today we look at food in a different way. A brilliant Pick and Pay advert series aired on television a couple of years ago, asking people if they knew exactly where their food came from. And this led me to thinking about something when my daughter went to on a school outing about 2 weeks ago, that honey is one of the things we take for granted. It's on the shelves right there, so it must mean that the industry is quite fine and that there's no problems in the industries. And that is far from the truth. South Africa imports much of its honey, about 85% of honey imports into South Africa actually comes from China, advertised as 100% honey. What you may be consuming is a mixture of corn and rice syrup to make it go a little bit further. So we have a look at this, and we have a chat to a very interesting person this morning. Our next guest is Dominic Marchant of the Honeybee Foundation. And the problem is not with the bees. The problem, he says, is actually with the people, as there aren't enough people to look after these honeybees. Dominic, a very good morning to you.
Good morning to you and to everybody else.
Welcome, okay. Welcome to the show. And we look at honey, and as I said, we there's a whole different kind of sort of varieties, and everybody's got their own version of honey and their own what they think about honey and how it should be used. How much honey is actually imported into South Africa yearly?
Well, as far as I know, probably around 4,000 tons. yeah, which is like a kind of an obscene thing to do, because that honey should be produced locally. We should actually, South Africa should actually export honey, you know, not, you know, we should not depend on somebody else to put honey on the table. So that's where the industry, the beekeeping industry, is facing a big problem, because, and I've been involved in that beekeeping industry in South Africa for 35 years, so I have seen a few things happening, probably not enough, in the sense that what I have seen is like going down the drain as an industry, because what is very particular about the beekeeping industry in South Africa is that it is actually a dying industry. And I've seen it dying, and now it is on its last heartbeat. And I try my best to make a change, but it is very difficult. So basically, what is happening is that there are less and less beekeepers. When, for example, when I started in 1980, there were probably 25,000 beekeepers from all sorts, from very small to very big. It was a very, very strong and dynamic industry. But slowly, slowly, all these beekeepers retired, and they even died, because beekeepers even die. and they did not get replaced by anybody else, because weakness of this industry is the fact that there is no training center. And imagine, you know, imagine any industry without a training center is not going to reintroduce the industry to a new generation. And that is what happened.
Okay, so
if you wanted to know why it did not happen, I can't even explain it, which is very, very strange, because the beekeeping industry was, in a way, connected to politics in the 1980s and before, because the beekeeping industry was a kind of a reserved industry for the white community. I know it sounds a bit strange today to say that, but it is true, and it is still true. And somehow they had the idea of not communicating, not training other people. Therefore, the industry is sort of disappearing. Not because we have a problem with bees. We do not have a problem with bees. The bees we are dealing with in Southern Africa, and I'm not talking about just South Africa, but Southern Africa and Africa, the bees we are dealing with are basically the original honeybees from way, way, way back, probably 50 million years ago.
Okay, so, and so, basically, we haven't actually passed on the skills to other people, I would actually think that, you know, the sort of back history of beekeeping being linked to certain things in terms of politics. Yeah. Well, if politics touches anything, it dies. Let's face that. When politics touches anything, that particular thing dies. But the thing is actually is that also beekeeping is very closely linked to farming, isn't it?
That's correct. So basically the potential is there. You know, we always say, you know, beekeeping is about, it's a relationship between nature, you know, which is what we can benefit from flowers and from the weather and from bees, for example. So that's part of that we have. And we have that great combination of wildflowers, commercial flowers, the beautiful weather here and there and everywhere, you know, and the bees, which are as tough as nail, because we are actually in a cradle. That is what I believe personally. I believe that we are in a cradle of the bee world, in a cradle of even beekeeping or honey hunting. That's what I like as well. Yeah. You know, we can go back thousands of years and look, especially on the west coast, in the mountains, on the left, on the right, everywhere you go, you see mountains and you see paintings from rock paintings, you know, and many, many rock paintings are going to represent honeycomb or people walking up a ladder and going to
We're actually feeding off honey. So
we have actually a history of thousands of years, probably 10 to 15,000 years. Okay, so it's enormous. I mean, it's a big advantage I have, even if it's just a mental advantage. It's good to know that you have a background that far away. Not many people in the world have got it. So we've got all the potential, we've got all these factors, which is the nature, which is the weather, you know, and which is the toughness of the African bee. So,
Dominic,
the only part we are missing is actually a training center network, which would then introduce again the art or the craft
of beekeeping,
so that we can now maybe have the choice. We can have the choice of importing honey or using local honey.
Dominic, talking about importing honey, how much do we actually import from China, and why is importing honey for us so bad in this country?
Because of the shortage of beekeeper, nobody handles bees anymore. I'm not going to say I see beekeepers dying every day, but most probably a couple of times a month, there will be an old beekeeper. The average age of the beekeeper in South Africa is over 65. So it's definitely time to wake up. On the other hand, if you read the newspaper, I was reading the business report yesterday, and the headline was about 52% of young people being unemployed. Well, let's get 2% of them. Let's get only just 1% of them. Just 1%, you know, involved in beekeeping. And I know, I mean, yesterday, you know, in the shop, you know, I had somebody, a young black guy from Eastern Cape, you know, came to visit me because he likes to deal with bees and whatever, and he wanted to know more, and he's from the Eastern Cape. He carried on telling me stories about it. It was amazing. So there is still a little, you know, part of the population knowing about beekeeping, but not enough. It's got to be put in the face of the people. It's got to be part of a training center network. We should be able to have access to that training in each province.
Yeah, and I think that
we should start in the Western Cape, because you know Western Cape needs so much of not just honey. You know, we tend to connect bees to honey. Personally, I say I connect bees to pollination. And pollination is a big export matter in the Western Cape. Imagine apples or pears or whatever fruit, you know, orchard from the orchards. You know, this fruit would not exist
without the bees.
The beekeepers, and not only the bees, but yeah. If the beekeepers were
Dominic,
not
if I
bring,
yeah, Dominic, yeah. If I could just interrupt you, we're having a chat, sure. Actually, a very interesting chat to Dominic Marchant of the Honeybee Foundation, and you know, many children have gone there. Many people who are now out of school sort of recollect their story with the Honeybee Foundation and their introduction to honey. How long does it actually take to become a beekeeper, as a matter of fact? And as I said, at the back of what you've just told us now about this gentleman from the Eastern Cape, how long would it take him to become a beekeeper?
Well, look, to be honest, who does most of the work? The bees, right? So what you have to be taught is to be protected and to be shown a few ways of dealing with bees, a safe way. And obviously, after a couple of weeks, you don't need, you know, 7 years of studying, just almost 7 days of studying, and you could get going. So it's not complicated. It's very simple. And to many people, it will make sense. But you want to, and we do workshops, and we do teach people how to deal with bees, but the safe way. So that's what we do. But of course, to remember that most of the time, I mean, most of the work is done by the bees. So you just have to just have to learn, you know, how to basically protect yourself and get along with the bees.
Dominic, tell me very quickly, has the drought in any way affected your Honeybee Foundation and the products that you sell at the Honeybee Foundation?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
I said, has the drought, the water shortage, has that affected the Honeybee Foundation?
No, not really, you know, because what is affecting us and the industry, I don't know why.
take a deep breath, there we go.
Almost there.
Chatting this morning to Dominic Marchant of the Honeybee Foundation, and pointing out quite a few interesting things for us this morning, that we import most of our honey, whereas we could actually, with the help of a training facility in South Africa, a training facility in the Western Cape, where we have so many beautiful wine farms and so many fruit farms in the Grabouw area and the Elgin area, where we could probably teach people how to farm with bees, specifically honeybees, and out of that you can make a living. Out of that you have an industry. Dominic, as I said once again, it doesn't take very long to become a beekeeper, as you pointed out. And secondly, you say that the drought has not affected the beekeeping at all at your foundation.
No, I mean, as far as I know, my concern is about the skills which are not going to be transferred to the next generation. The bees are the ones who are going to find sources of water, and they do all the time. So the drought, of course, does not help, but it's not that critical. It's not a critical side of beekeeping. If we are going back to the amount of honey imported, which is in the region of 4,000 tons, and which is going to be, by the way, 4,500 tons next year, and then 5,000 tons, so that is not going to change. And just to give you an idea about 4,000 tons, because it's difficult to visualize what 4,000 tons of honey looks like, is. Well, it's basically 8 million bottles of 500 grams of honey.
Yeah, it's a lot.
8 million.
Yeah.
You know, that is obscene to have to import that when it could be produced here. Plus, we should be able to produce much more because the land is there, the flowers are there, and mainly the weather is beautiful.
Yes.
Bees love it here, and they can we can go in partnership with bees, because if you deal with bees, you are dealing with business, obviously.
That's right. Yeah.
Not to become a billionaire, but it doesn't matter. As long as you can improve your nutrition,
yes,
and if you can improve your income, you know, by a little, you know, it's already a start. And eventually, if we can go back to those 20,000-25,000 beekeepers from the 1980s, then we will be able to be self-sufficient.
Dominic, thank you. Dominic, thank you so much.
Okay.
We had a chat to Dominic Marchant of the Honeybee Foundation. Now, if you want to find the Honeybee Foundation, it's I think I know where it is.
Just Honeybee at Global.
Honeybee at Global. And if you're traveling out there, you go down Berkeley Road past the Shell Garage, yes?
Okay.
And just turn left at that particular Shell Garage, and then you'll find the Honeybee Foundation over there. Very interesting chat about honeybees and exactly the production of honeybees on the Sunday morning with me, Zan Johnson, and I take you through until 6 o'clock this morning.